My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
You have to excuse me. I'm suffering from a little bit of the pollen that has inundated Memphis for the springtime. Appreciate that. So it made perfect sense for me to just step outside, hence the train you hear, and record this episode of the podcast from out here for a moment. Been out running around today, and it's been a busy week for me. I usually try and record this sometime between like Wednesday and Friday, and here it is Saturday night, and this one is not going up the next Sunday. It's going up a week from now, but I got to get part of the teaser into the one that's before this one. Anyway, first world problems. And I've been running around and trying to get some things done and trying to keep up with, you know, life in general and society, and sometimes I don't feel like I'm succeeding in that too well. And I think we all feel that way a lot of times. You know, it's like the old adage of Sisyphus, who's, you know, pushing the gigantic rock up the hill, and every time he gets up near the top, he's having to, you know, he gets so tired and he can't get it over the top of the hill, and back down to the bottom he goes, and he's got to start all over again. So I sometimes I feel like that, you know, and I think we all do, really. But I was out running around earlier today. I was catching up with some friends of mine over at a studio. And you ever sit there at a stoplight, the window's down, it's nice, and you flick a booger outside of your window, and then you think after you drive off, after the light turns green, that, you know, what if there was a murder that was committed shortly thereafter me leaving that intersection? And in the midst of some crime scene investigation, they come across the booger and DNA test it, and then all of a sudden your ass is having to stand before the man wondering why you were there at the time of this murder. It's just some shit like I think of this from time to time, and I wonder, I guess that's a lesson to you. Never flick your boogers outside of your car. I guess, you know, with the whole DNA thing, you have to be somewhat concerned as to whether or not that it could be used against you, even if you're totally innocent. Not that this would happen in the city of Memphis, mind you, because the Memphis Police Department is lacking, to say one way or another. I think they somewhat try. For those of you that are uninitiated, the process of becoming a Memphis police officer is now easier than ever. Yes, you too can become an officer in blue, the city of Memphis. It used to be you had to have at least a couple of years of college. I think at even one point you may have had to have 4 years of college. But when I first got here about 20 years ago, it was at least 2 years of college. Some study of law enforcement would be handy, you know, law enforcement sciences, that kind of thing. Had to be a good, you know, upstanding American. Somebody with a sense of what is right and wrong. You had to live by those, you know, by those rules that we have set out upon society. And over the years, the city council here, which is a bunch of chumps, actually every last one of them, they have over the years they have lowered the requirements to being a police officer here. So, and they did it gradually. They did it with things like, okay, we'll do away with the college requirement. So as long as you have a high school education or the equivalent, which means GED, okay, and you had to have no criminal record. Then they said, okay, we'll let some people with some misdemeanor convictions come on board. And then they said, okay, you got a felony or two, we can let that happen. And now, here we are in 2014, scratching our heads or our backsides, and we're wondering, why is it that when a police officer shows up on your local news for having done something stupid, you know, like get arrested for something stupid, that why is this happening? Well, you lowered the standards, and that's what you get. The city says over and over they don't have enough money to pay police officers. They, you know, the kind of salaries that they demand, which is bullshit. This city has tons of cash. They've been stealing it from people and businesses left and right for years. But the real thing, one of the most baffling things that's ever occurred here, and I'm sure there's plenty other cases that are just as baffling, but this one particular incident really kind of struck me as, wow. There was an officer, he makes the news, and I'm not really that much of a habit of watching the news. Oddly enough, I DVR the 10 p.m. news, so the wife and I actually sit down together and watch the 10 o'clock news, and of course you're only getting like barely a 16th of what has actually happened in this town. And there was this a remarkable story about this police officer who had gotten to a traffic accident, a little fender bender, of all places. I believe it was in the parking lot of the precinct office he was working out of. And lo and behold, during the course of the investigation, it was determined that this police officer had been driving under a suspended driver's license. Now, okay, accidents happen, people make mistakes and all this other thing, but pardon me for saying this, but how the fuck do you become a Memphis police officer with a suspended driver's license? Are they not background checking these people? It just seems like that's just, you know, something simple that you should perhaps look into. Maybe you should background check these guys or ladies or whomever, because you just don't know until it hits the news that this guy's been on the force for 2 or 3 years with a suspended driver's license, and he's in charge of enforcing the traffic laws. Uh-huh. Crazy. Pardon my sniffing and snorting and all this other stuff. I've been dealing with pollen, which is why I'm sitting outside. I don't know. Actually, it was a very nice day today, and very enjoyable. I worked on cleaning up the yard a little bit, and I'm enjoying the fruits of my labor, if you will. Out here on the back patio and kind of in and out of the backyard, been kind of up and wandering around some. I was thinking about when I was thinking about doing this particular podcast that I was going to actually go outside and like go on a walk and take you with me, since I've got the equipment to do that. And yeah, I'm sure at some point I will come to that thing, because, you know, here in the Cooper Young area where we live, it is completely and totally acceptable for some random person to be walking through the streets with some type of digital recorder in their hand, and in this case, I got headphones in it, which is really kind of weird. And I'm just kind of walking along and talking and doing all this other stuff and making probably completely ridiculous remarks about this, that, or the other. And those people that are in Cooper Young that like to sit outside, which they do, they like to sit out on their front porches, and you know, that's just a tradition. It's been that way for 10,000 years. And they like to sit outside and have them a drink, or they'll smoke some grass or whatever it is that they're doing out here, because there's a lot of hippies and artists that live down this way. And they would probably not think twice about seeing me come walking through and talking into this thing. In fact, a lot of them would probably, since a lot of people know us down here, they would probably look at me and go, "Oh, there he goes. Can't wait to hear what he has to say now. How is he going to be wasting our time now?" yeah, well. And by the way, speaking of that, people that have become subscribers of this podcast, first of all, thank you so very much. Those of you that are new, we've got a bunch of new ones apparently. All you have to do is go back and listen to them. They don't run in any particular order. They're kind of, there's no sequence to this stuff. There's no real tale that goes with it. It's not a story arc or anything like that to it. And they're all fairly random. They all cover different topics. Since we started it, it has usually been about my life in the broadcasting business, which changes every day. And observations along those same lines. And here of late, we've been kind of getting a little bit away from it, making it a little bit more mainstream for a lot of other folks. It seems to be working. The podcast before this one, of course, Lipstick on My Codpiece, If you haven't heard it yet, it is good. It's very amusing. We've actually introduced a third voice into all this. My good friend Jeff had a buddy of his come in, and Mr. Andy Galloway, and sat down with us. And see, Andy is part of the 501st, and he dresses up as a stormtrooper, and he talks a lot about, you know, what it's like doing all that, and how much fun they put into their costumes and stuff like that. And it's very enjoyable. It's a bit long. It's, you know, just under an hour and a half, but still it's worth it. If you haven't heard it yet, you might want to go back and listen to that, or just get out of this one, because this one ain't going to get any better than what it is right now. Then again, I don't know what may come up between now and the time I cut this off, because I didn't look at the time when I started, and I have no idea what time it is now, so I'm just going to kind of go until I'm sort of done. Which is how it works. This is all improvised. There is no script or anything like that. And when we're bringing in Andy, I didn't have any questions that popped into mind, because I do want it to be as free form as humanly possible. I know it seems like there's a lot of production in it with the whole big band open and close in there, and the little hairs what's coming up next time. But that's all just trickery. The meat of the thing, no, not so much. You know, we just kind of go along, because we don't really know what's going to happen. And a lot of times when people discover a podcast, they like that free form, disorganized type of thought, and that's what I want to do, whether it's by myself or whether Jeff is with me or whomever. And speaking of, I know we are talking about bringing in some more guests to this thing. So, and we've mentioned it before, we've already started doing it, so that's a good thing. So there's a lot more fun things that are coming. That's what we have sort of planned for this sort of thing, and it'll be big fun. At least I hope so, and I'm sure you will as well. And that's certainly something to keep looking forward to, because I've always envisioned that a podcast is somewhere along the lines of like a cross between, you know, like sitting at a bar and overhearing a very interesting conversation with a couple of folks, or actually sort of being included into it. In this case, you are certainly included into this, since I'm speaking to you directly. If you'd like to comment back, you're more than welcome to, which I find remarkable that out of 10,000 subscribers, nobody really comments about these sorts of things. I don't know if they have nothing to say about it, or they don't like it, or they do like it, or they agree, or they just felt like it's not necessary to comment on. And that's fine. That's, you know, that's, it doesn't bother me in the least. There's a lot of times great pieces that are posted out there on the web. Pardon me for popping the pee here. All the stuff that does get posted out onto the internet, a lot of it, there's no comment to it. And I find that, and this brings up a good train of thought here. I find that when I look at a particular news article or story or situation, and I go through and I look at the comments that are being written about the story, and it makes no difference what the topic of the story may be. It might be, a giant baby was born in Nairobi. You know, some woman has a natural childbirth with a 40-pound baby, or whatever the case may be. And it's a cute, clever thing. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, this woman passed a watermelon through her pelvis and through her poo-ha. Great. Amusing story. Those types of things don't happen that often, but they happen often enough that it still piques our interest. But what I do find amusing is when you go down through the comments, almost invariably, there's always going to be somebody that turns it into a Republican or Democratic issue. They're going to make it a political issue or a religious issue. That's always amusing. That's it. Let's shove your religion down everybody's throat. Let's shove your political beliefs down everybody's throat. And I find it ridiculously amusing in this day and age. In 2014, I'll go back and listen to this after a couple of years and go, wow, what the hell was I thinking? In 2014, we still think as a collective group of chattering monkeys on an organic spaceship spinning through the universe that there is one man who is in charge of the entire United States, and he controls everybody's future. I find that amusing to me that people believe that. Now, I'm not in the habit of discussing politics, and I'm not going to go much further than that. But it does strike me as kind of a as an amusing thing to think that how quickly, whether it's one side or the other. I mean, when you look at our current president, which is Barack Obama. Barry, to those of us that might have met him, I never have. There is so much, at least around these parts, a lot of people really hate the guy. I have no opinion about him either way. You know, he's a guy that's been charged with a pretty tough job. The guy that had the office before him was George W. Bush, and you know, people liked him around here. Of course, being here from the South, that was kind of strange. But any rate, there was also a lot of hatred toward him as well. And it was like, well, look what he's done now. He's done this, and he's doomed us all. We're all going to die. And it doesn't matter who's in office. That statement always comes out. He is the Antichrist. He's going to kill us all. And of course, it never really comes to that. You know, history will speak for itself, and you have to kind of go back and sift through the, you know, all the pieces. There's the right media, there's the left media, then, you know, there's no unbiased media anymore. You have to kind of sort it out the way you see fit and just deal with it as best as you can and somewhere find and pick and choose what you think is the right story. And when you have the story of the giant baby from Nairobi, somebody is going to invoke the current name of the administration. And invariably, it will lead to something along the lines of welfare or perhaps the next president of the United States. Or, you know, if this law was passed, it wouldn't be this way. Or, you know, I do understand it. And everybody has their opinions on politics. I have mine. You have yours. And that is that. I personally am of the ilk that that perhaps that maybe we as a citizenry should refrain from running our idealistic thoughts on politics down everybody's throat. I don't think we all want to hear it. I don't think any of us want to hear what somebody else believes politically. Like this whole situation in Russia and the Ukraine. To be honest with you, I'm not really fully understanding exactly what's going on, aside from it's just a real estate thing. That's really kind of what it boils down to. And and you hear the extremists, and they're jumping out there, and they're saying things like, "Well, this is the start of World War III, and we're all going to die because the president's a butthead." Or whatever they're going to say. And it's ridiculous. And then when the religious discussions get dragged into the political discussions at the same time, then it's a no holds barred cage grudge fuck match all the way to the end of time, because certainly now we've got written proof and revelation that this president or this individual, this leader of another country, or whether it's ours or somewhere else, is going to doom us all to the end times. Those of you who believe that sort of thing, I highly suggest you might try reading the Book of Revelation. Just read it. And see here how smooth that was. We went from politics to religion. And here's all I'm really going to have to say about it. If you're going to speak of such matters of religion, understand the source material before you open your mouths. And I say this because, taking the Holy Bible, for example, whatever version, whether it's the King James, the New International Version, there's the Living Bible, there's the Gideon Bible, there's this one, there's a million of them out there. They're all open to interpretation. Every phrase in the thing is open to interpretation. And those who hold it as this is the legitimate end of word, all go, this is it, I'm gonna believe it as the way it's written, great, live your life by that. It's certainly no harm in that. I would not hold Leviticus to what it certainly entails, because there'd be a lot of us there wouldn't be as many people on the planet if we all held by those rules. But understand the source material is what I'm getting at, and try and look at it with as open of a mind as possible. There has been a movement across the past several years of, I guess, a move toward more of an atheistic society. Your beliefs are your beliefs. I have no qualms on that. That's none of my business, to be quite honest with you. If you want to believe that a rock that you hold up is your God, then that's your God. If you believe that there was a guy that was the son of God and he was a political usurper and he got in trouble and they nailed him to a cross and as a result he is now your religious leader, then that's who you believe in, and who am I to tell you otherwise? And it's the same thing. It's a two-way street. Who are you to tell me otherwise that your religious beliefs should be mine? I'm not going to go much further than that, because if I do, I know I will probably upset a good number of you. But I think the bottom line here is that religion and politics, yes, they have their places. And if I want those things, I know where I can go to get those things. There's nothing worse than election season and Facebook. Oh my God. Pardon my irreligious moment there, but oh my Jesus. It's so impressive to me the lengths that people go and the absolute hatred and vehement poison that is just being strewn out there under the name of God and politics. Last I heard, there was a separation of church and state, and I don't like my peas and my mashed potatoes, so let's kind of keep them separated, if you would, please. Because all it does is it just really kind of turns me off to the whole thing, and it's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And it goes back to what I said originally about, you know, the President of the United States does not call the shots. If you think he does, you need to open up your eyes a little bit. There's always kind of been a running gag that guys like Rush Limbaugh, I use him as an example because he's very popular. He is a conservative radio talk show host, and he's one of these cats that you either like or you really hate. I don't really have an opinion on the guy, to be honest with you. I've heard his show, his stuff. I've known guys that do that whole talk show thing, the conservative talk show thing or liberal talk show thing. And it's funny because most of these guys don't buy into their own bullshit. They do that because that's what they know people get turned on for. They love to turn that audience, and that's how they do it. And they say what the audience wants to hear, whether they believe it or not. There was always a running gag that Rush Limbaugh was so conservative that he always voted for a Democratic president so Congress could be conservative. Think about that for a second. There's always going to be checks and balances. That's what the Constitution is for. And only in a handful of times in our history have a president been of the same political mindedness or party as those in Congress. And that only happens for a little while, and it's usually over an overlap of the midterm elections, and that's why they're 2 years apart instead of 4 years apart. And it helps kind of break up that, you know, that whole thing, because if everybody agrees with everybody in there, then you got what the one guy says, everybody's going to agree with him, whether you want to or not. I'm sure by the end of this podcast, by the time, there's probably already there, because I have a sneaking suspicion that this is probably going to be the one podcast that's going to start generating written comments, and I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of hateful things that are going to be said, so I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave them up there. I'm gonna leave them up there and let you people sort them out. I won't get involved. You guys say what you want to call me an ass. I'm an ignorant idiot. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about when it comes to politics. And you can so you're just some long haired hippie, and you know, do you care? You're living off the government tit. No, I am not. Nope. I am a business owner. In fact, I'm the worst kind of business owner. I'm a small business owner. I'm the one that gets screwed by everybody. Yeah, 30% of my income goes back into the government. That's on the minimum. That's before everything else. By the time I'm all said and done paying everybody's taxes and paying everybody else's bills, I lose half of my income to the government. So, you know, let's not push it any further, shall we? I can see this now. This is not going to be a very popular one. Hey, whatever. I told you when I started this thing that we'd probably encompass all topics, and that's the way it goes. I'm not discussing the radio or television industry in this in this podcast, in this episode, this show, if you will. Going to leave it that way. I'll always refer to it in some way, shape, or form because that's the basis of my referral. I think you all can kind of understand that. I'll end the discussion of religion with this, and it's the one thing that I still think about from time to time. I wonder why any God, not the God or your God or my God, why any God would believe for any second that it would be correct to hunt down your fellow man and kill them for your religious beliefs. I find that hard to understand. That's all I'm going to have to say about that. I know there's caveats to it. Yes. Quote the Bible all you want to. Yes, I've read the damn thing cover to cover. Several times. I have a minor in theology. I understand what's being spoken in parts of the book. I've read the Quran. Y'all want to read something interesting? Read that. You good Christian people that have it all figured out, read the Quran once. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Just read it so you know what you're up against when you're talking about Islamic terrorism. Yeah. That's a thought. Boy, this went straight to hell in a hurry, didn't it? Didn't expect to be discussing religion and politics in this to the extent that I have, but you know, I'm trying to keep it as neutral as I possibly can without injecting too much of my point of view, because really I don't have much of a point of view. I just believe that I think we as a people would be better served if we looked after each other instead of looking after ourselves. You know, does that make sense to you? Far too often we see issues of greed and all the rules and things that lay in place in our society that are all centered around the way people are conducting business and the way people should conduct their business. And that's not, I don't know if that's right. I believe that if we took a moment to give a thought about another human being, whether we know that person or not, a complete stranger sometimes is often the best benefactor of benevolence, and I'm not saying to do it to make yourself feel better. I'm saying doing it, you know, do something nice for somebody, it would be a good thing to do just because you're a human being. It should be the right thing to do. You know, simple little stuff. You know, hold the door open for somebody. Help a little old lady cross the street. You don't necessarily have to be a Boy Scout about it, but you know, when you see somebody that's distressed. Assist if you can. Don't turn around and go, well, that's not my problem. Granted, yes, there are situations in which, you know, you get into a particular scenario and you're caught up in something. And it's like, man, I don't need to be caught up in this. But I think overall, though, if you try and do right by your fellow man, I think that's a good start. And if we just cut the bullshit out, just wipe away all of this nonsense. Oh, it's like this discussion of gay marriage. I mean, why is this even a discussion? Isn't it far better for two people, regardless of their gender, if two human beings love each other enough to devote their lives to each other? Isn't that far better than two human beings who hate each other so much they want to see the other one in the ground? Peace-loving hippies at it again. Look. It's just it goes back to that thing. It's far better for those of us to do right by our fellow man as best as we can. Give everybody a fair shake if you can. Lord knows we've all been fucked over by a government, by a church, by an organization, by a corporation, by our own fellow man, by our next door neighbor, by our doctors, by our veterinarians, by our mailman. We have been fucked over by everybody you can possibly think of. You have, I have, your neighbor has, we've all been there. So really the best thing to do is try and put that behind you. It is tough. Trust me. I got a notice from my bank. These bastards. I'll give you a little background here. I have two bank accounts. I have two personal bank accounts. One's a checking account. To pay the bills with, use my debit card with, and the other is a savings account. I opened up the savings account when I was working in a corporate environment and was drawing steady money, and I was able to, you know, keep some money behind us, you know. It's a smart thing. If you've got a chance to have a savings account, by all means, do it. In this day and age, it's kind of a running gag when people don't talk about it, because those of us in the working trenches here have realized that what was the middle class is no longer. It's the haves or the have-nots, but that's save that for another discussion. So at any rate, I was, you know, of course, trying to do the right thing. And when all of that money dried up and I wound up finding myself pulling money from savings quite a bit and paying the bills with it, to the point where I wiped it out. And money would get deposited into that account, and then I would pull money from that into my checking account because they were linked together. I didn't think anything of it, you know. And I got a notice from the bank. And they're saying that I have exceeded the number of allowed transactions between my two accounts. That it's not legal for me to take all this money from my savings account to my checking account so many times during a year. And I thought, whatever. They weren't charging me any more than anything else for doing so. It was just, you know, I was treading on some type of thin ice. And ultimately, I wound up getting a letter from the bank who said quite emphatically that because of my egregious behavior with my savings account, that they were hence closing said savings account, and they were transferring it over to another checking account. They were transforming my savings account into a checking account. Which meant that I wasn't going to get to collect the, 1% interest or whatever it is that this bank pays. This is a nationwide big bank. It's in America. Follow the clues. And as a result of said movement from the savings account to the checking account now, it left me kind of dumbstruck in a way. It's like, well, so you're trying to tell me that I'm not allowed to do with my money what I want to do with my money. If I want to bounce it around accounts 300 times a year, can't I do that? It's all electronic. Nobody's having to lay a finger on it. It's only me and the computer that's doing it. Why are you having to get involved? Because those are the rules that they say. Those are the rules that are set forth. And as a result, we don't get to make the kind of money off of your money because of what you're doing. It's, yeah, you know, once again, we're living in that world where we're having to be bound by all of these rules. I'm not saying that we should be in an anarchist society. That would be ridiculous. We have to have rules. We have to have laws and government to make sure that we all play by the rules, if you will, and act right. And I think for the most part, most people tend to want to do the right thing. I know that there's a percentage of people that are out there amongst us that choose not to. They find it easier to be shitty to one another and do shitty things like, you know, rob banks or mug people or carjack you or commit violent crimes against us, you know, and there's really no changing that. And that's just, you know, they don't understand right from wrong as far as I'm concerned. They don't care. That's just how it is. And it's obvious that these people walk amongst us because it's everywhere you turn. It's on the news. It's in the newspapers. There's stories about it all over the web, and it's about what some guy did to this other person, and you shake your head and you go, my God, how can that be? Well, it's just the way it is. There's good people and there's bad people. But I'd like to think, maybe I'm being idealistic here. I hope I'm being more than idealistic. I hope I'm being a little more realistic, I should say, and stating that I believe that a good percentage of the people out there in the world would do good by natural order of things. I think if I were in a foreign country, in a city someplace, and I fell and I hurt my ankle of some sort, I would think that there would be a stranger that would offer to assist me. Boy, I sounded like an old geezer right there, didn't I? Well, if I fell, I'm going to need somebody to help me up. And then it goes back to the whole thing that people suck. Because by and large, they seem to do that. Although on an individual basis, and this is what I've said before, in that conversation that Diana and I had, which is on one of these podcasts, go back and look for it, you'll find it there, that I've often believed that people as a group suck, but individuals, not so much. There are some dandy individuals out there. We've all been hooked up with the wrong ones from time to time, but that happens. Got an ex-wife or two out there that don't really need to be involved in my life, and that's why I'm no longer with them. And conversely, that's why they're no longer with me. It's not that, you know, hey, I may have done some shitty things in my life. Hell, we all have. But, you know, it's never my fault, right? Does that sound familiar? Of course. It's never our fault. It's like there's never a guilty guy in prison. Man, we're all innocent in here, right? The fact of the matter is, if we just take a moment and put down our own greed for just a few seconds, and thought about what it would be like to have somebody think a nice positive thought about us would be a nice thing. And we can do that by being the ones to make those positive thoughts, don't you think? It's not such a bad thing to be living in that kind of an ideal. So on that... Maybe we can do things like come together and end things like, you know, work on things, ending things like, I don't know, world hunger. Boy, that's going to be a problem, too. The world is in the process of kicking us off its planet, it would seem. We've done a lot of damage to it. Oh, yeah. Hey, let's get into the whole global warming thing. Since I've already pissed off about half of the audience with the whole, you know, political thing, and there's another half of the audience that's been pissed off because of the whole religious thing I went into. Hey, let's piss off some more people and talk about global warming, shall we? Global warming, in my estimation, is based in true, cold, hard scientific fact. Yes, there has been climactic change throughout the history of recorded time in the United States of America and throughout the entire world. And we've got some pretty smart people here on this planet. And when they all say things like, look, we're the ones doing this to ourselves. We're the ones that are doing this to this planet. This has become a problem. Those of you younger listeners may not remember much discussion about it, but the whole thing about the CFCs, that's the chlorofluorocarbons, that was an ingredient that was in a lot of aerosol cans in the back when aerosols first came out, all the way through to, I guess it was, I want to say it was the early 80s, mid 80s, when the whole let's get rid of the CFC thing happened, because it was determined by NASA that these CFCs that were in these spray cans, everything from hairspray to deodorant to spray paint and every other chemical that we were compressing under some type of gas in a metal can to make our lives easier, was depleting the ozone layer. And that could cause a problem because the ozone layer would make things, well, ultimately hotter around here because the ozone would filter out UV rays. That's, if you'll notice, but if you'll remember, if you think about it for a second, the whole CFC and the ozone layer thing, when it became common knowledge that the ozone layer had this gaping hole over it, and it happened to be over the North Pole, and that all of these extra UV rays were coming onto the into contact with us and animals and the earth and all that, all of a sudden sunscreen became a big deal. Nowadays, I'd be hard pressed to even go out and spend any time in the sun without at least some form of sunscreen. I've been blessed with very tough skin, but you think about, you know, sun damaged skin and skin cancer, and wow, there was a spike in all of that about the time that this whole hole in the ozone layer thing came out, and nobody bitched. It was really strange. If I recall, nobody complained that we were taking the CFCs out of aerosol cans. Because we didn't need them, per se. And we found a better way to deliver our favorite product in a can without the use of CFCs. And you'll see, still, when you pick up an aerosol can, look on there, you know, on the back, there's a big thing. It says no CFCs. In fact, I'd be hard-pressed for you to find a can that had CFCs in it because they just don't. They don't even allow that sort of thing between the Environmental Protection Agency and the FDA and all the other alphabet groups have banned them and said it's bad for the environment. Nobody complained. They all understood that. Well, you know, perhaps us using these things unknowingly was creating damage to the atmosphere, and that's the way it went. And as a result of that, I think NASA had said that the ozone layer, the hole in the ozone layer, had begun to mend itself and has begun to heal itself somewhat. However, it has taken all this time for the damage that is done and has started. And now we're looking at being able to actually take a ship through the North Pole that we've never been able to do before. Unless you're a submarine. And I don't know what the future holds when it comes to this sort of thing. But it is, you know, when you talk of climate change and people are saying, well, you know, by God, you're not going to take away my gas-guzzling SUV. Part of me wants to say to you, fine, spend that money and drive your damn car if you can afford to do it. It goes back to what I was saying earlier. Don't you think it would be better? Even if there was, whether we're going to stop this climate change or not, if we find ways to make our lives a little cleaner and a little more respectful to our environment and to the people that are around us, wouldn't it be okay that we found cleaner ways to do this? Oh my God, the light bulb scenario. Oh my damn. How many people got so worked up that the incandescent light bulb was going away? The thing had been around over 120 years. And just because it was invented then doesn't mean that it's still viable today. We can come up with better ways to make our lives more illuminated, if you will. The compact fluorescent light bulb has upset so many people to the point where it's just damn near comical to me about that. Yeah, it's a slightly pricier bulb, but it tends to last longer. It doesn't last the 7 years, I'll give you that. It doesn't last the 7 years it says on the package because they knew that if they did that, they'd be shooting themselves in the balls because, well, you know, a seven-year light bulb, if I'm only buying light bulbs once every 7 years, if I replace all my light bulbs today, then I theoretically shouldn't have to change them all again until another 7 years. That's not really good business for the light bulb people. So, yeah, they had to shorten the lifespans a little bit. I don't know. Part of the problem that I have with that would boil down to the fact that, yes, there are some elements within a fluorescent light bulb that are probably not good for us, like, you know, mercury. Of course, when I was in school, we used to actually play with mercury. It was because we didn't really know just how bad this stuff really was, and that may explain a lot of what's going on in my mind. However, having a better light bulb is not such a bad thing. See, we can even get away from the compact fluorescent light bulb because now there's this thing called an LED. Oh, they're everywhere. They're in things you didn't even know you had. An LED is a light-emitting diode, for those that are the uninitiated. And it does not contain mercury. Oh, my goodness. And they have a they have a decent lifespan that make them worth their while. They're actually, I think, becoming a little more cheaper than the compact fluorescents. They have natural-looking light to them. I know they were looking kind of rough there for a while because there were these bright white colors, and it was almost like unnatural. It's like morgue lighting. But, then they're coming up with a little more softer and warmer tones to them, and they're making them a little bit more accessible. So what's wrong with that? Well, Edison was a great American. Yeah, he was a fine American. He had some great stuff, and he led us to where we are today. So let's move along, and let's find better ways to make our lives, a little better, but at the same time, not being so damn greedy about it. Let's not do certain things that it takes to destroy this world that is so wanton destruction that is around us. It's bad enough we're doing it to each other. We don't need to do it to the planet itself. Boy, I do sound like a hippie today. Yeah, well, it's just nice to be able to talk about these kinds of things. I know some of you will agree with it. Some of you don't agree with me. Some of you probably have already turned this thing off and said, "Fine, there's no point in me saying anything further to them because they're not even listening." But I just would like to think that we as a group, the bottom line here is that we should do better ourselves as a group of humans. And let's start by taking care of each other. Let's start there. And then after that, let's think about what we're doing to the things around us. Like, for example, a tree is a good thing to have. If they really wanted to do something, this is going to go over really well. My personal thought about this, about trees in general, is and I'm not a tree hugger. I like trees because they create oxygen from my carbon dioxide. That's a good thing. Your carbon dioxide and my carbon dioxide are what trees use to breathe, and they exhale oxygen, which is what you and I inhale. That's a pretty interesting symbiotic relationship, if you don't mind me saying. And this whole farming of trees, yes, we do need wood, and yes, we do need paper, and there are things that we've got to have that come solely from trees, and I have no problem with that. But this ridiculous notion of putting a live Christmas tree in your home is got to go. I think we're done with it. Oh, how anti-Christmas can you be? We're in the middle of springtime here. I can talk about Christmas all I want to. What I like about, I was saying to get rid of the Christmas tree, get rid of the live Christmas tree. Do something, get you an artificial tree. They're cheaper, they look good, we've made huge advances in them. Oh, but Rick, they're made out of petroleum and they're not good for the environment. They're only bad for the environment if you go bury it in the ground for 30 years. Besides, it'll eventually turn back into petroleum again when I want it. Yes, get an artificial tree. By God, save the trees. Save the whales. Save the ozone. Let's look out for the jolly polar bear who has no place to go because the North Pole is gone. You know what? That is entirely enough of all of that.
Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland.
So here we are. We're down here on Beale Street.
Oh, yeah, we are.
And I'm actually recording. I'm walking with Jeff. How's it going, man?
It's going well.
I figured, I'd bring the recorder. Hey, we'll step over here. Uh-oh. Hello.
Yeah, those are session cats.
Exactly. You don't have a lot of session cats around Memphis.
No, I mean, you have guys that
You got a lot of guys around Memphis that are lucky to get into a session.
Right.
But not a lot of guys you think, that's the guy you call when you sort of just lay down a guitar or lay down a bass.
Hell, I thought we was here for the amateur midget mafia tonight. That's what I thought we were here for.
Is there a dwarf throw in there tonight? Whatever, your dwarf throw?
I'm going to try to catch somebody in the knees. I'm just saying.
You Arkansas fellas, man, are tough to hang, man.
Huh? Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
Okay, so here's the thing. Jeff and I have been talking off and on about who all we're going to bring onto the podcast. I like doing it by myself from time to time. I don't like doing it all the time because it is sort of weird to be sitting here and having, you know, lofty discussions about this, that, or the other about certain things and not really going anywhere with them, as certainly this episode may have been. Certainly, I hope you have enjoyed it. If you have, great. And please tell a friend about it. Tell them about the whole series of podcasts here. You know, because I looked at the production of this thing, and my initial thought was, you know, why not? Let's kind of break this down into seasons. Why don't we do 13 weeks, and then I'll take some time off, and then we'll do 13 more weeks, and thus each 13 week season I'm on would be a season. So I in essence have two seasons per year. And no, that's just this isn't TV. And the 13 weeks that I would be off is the amount of time that I would have to devote all back into building a new audience again. And we're not going to do that. We're going to keep going. I'm not really intending on missing any episodes. I try and stay ahead as much as I can. In this particular instance, that certainly wasn't the case, you know. And there's really no excuse for me to not be able to sit down for at least an hour or so and put something together for you folks, because you have taken the time to, you know, click that subscribe button and add us to your playlist, and I appreciate that more than you'll ever know. It really does mean a lot to me to know that there are folks that are interested in what I have to say. After this episode, probably not. But you can argue with me all you want to. That's fine. I'm open to all suggestions and entertaining all ideas. At any rate, Jeff is Jeff Janowitz. He's on many podcasts. He was interested in bringing in more guests, and we're going to do that. And we're trying to line some folks up. So if you want to think of the first 13 episodes, which we're getting close to the nearing of that, let's see, this would be episode 12. So if that is the case, then technically the one after this would be the last episode of the season, which is bullshit, because we're not going to do it that way. We're just going to keep on going all year long. We'll keep going until I can't do them anymore. And if for some reason I'm not around, if I have to leave town or something like that, nothing prevents me from taking this little device that I've been recording on, which this one is done on a handheld. I can go and sit by a swimming pool or sit in my hotel room or sit on the balcony and have a smoke and a beverage and talk to you folks. I can always upload it. That's, you know, that's the thing. The internet is everywhere. The computers are everywhere I need to be. So that's a good thing. We'll always keep them coming. And that's really all there is to that. Now, to freshen them up, you know, to keep things a little more interesting, we do want to bring in some more voices. And yes, we will be, now that we're getting up into some serious subscriber numbers, we're going to be moving it out a little bit more. We are talking about bringing in a couple of comedians that are going to come and sit with us. That's always a fun thing to have. Some other showbiz types that are out there. We're opening up the Skype lines here pretty soon, and we'll be we're reaching out to some folks that are out there that we feel that you folks would be interested in hearing talk about certain things. And then those of you that are in the Memphis area, yes, we will be doing this. I know it sounds like a broken record, but it is coming. We will be doing this podcast, this show, if you will, in front of a live audience, unedited, the way it's meant to be, and we'll just have a big old time with that, and we'll let you know as it gets closer and closer to that time. For information on all of that, if you want to know on updated schedules and stuff, I'm going to try and get in the habit of putting that stuff up on our the podcast does not have a social media page, so it would be my Twitter page at Rick Cheddar, RICCHETTER. That's where I am on Twitter. Find me there. Give me a follow there if you would. I'm not up there that often, but usually when I'm up there, I've been drinking and I write something horrible, or I'm telling you that there's a new edition of this podcast that's up. Another place you can find some more information, some background links and things like that would be on my blog page, which is where really what has turned into somewhat of a half-ass host of this podcast. That's where some of my notes and links and photographs are as well. And, of course, the home of this podcast is found at podbean.com. Look for rickcheddar.podbean.com. That's the link to pass around to everybody. And of those of you that are on iTunes, you know it's automatic there, that, as well as our friends over at Stitcher. Stitcher Radio also carries Radio Memphis, which is the radio station that I own and operate and work, as well as several of the folks that you've met. Also, you can find us at player.fm. And, the whole list is on our blog page. Forgive me for not knowing them all off the top of my head, or getting to the point where there's so many of them. Let's see here. Stitcher. Oh, TuneIn. That's it. Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, iTunes, Podbean, is where we're at. And of course, my blog at theblogspot.com. So there you go. So there's that. So once again, thank you all for being a part of this thing. I certainly hope you've made some time pass for your whatever time that you're listening, whether it's the evening time, morning time, or afternoons. You might be doing some tedious yard work or driving a long distance, whatever the case may be. We appreciate you staying tuned and being all a part of it. My name is Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.